Let's get them on out in the air. Rat Pack Sports Show, NBA Insider, Mr. Nicholas Lane is on the line with us. What is going on, brother?
Good evening. It is great to be back on. It's nice to hear your voice. And there is quite a bit going on in the association, as they would say.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to be here tonight.
Yeah, man. Glad to have you on, as always, brother. I know, you know, life gets busy, so you know you're not on as much as you used to be, but anytime we could get you on, it's always a pleasure to have you on talking NBA, giving the listeners the juice in the world of the association. So
tonight I'm watching ESPN. I'm watching the Rockets and Pistons, because in my fantasy basketball league I have Cade Cunningham and Sadiq Bey, which are two starters for the Pistons. But before the game, they had a segment on NBA Countdown about who was the most complete team in the NBA, and some of it was kind of humorous because Mike Greenberg, the host, says Utah Jazz, which we all saw. If Terrence Mann can absolutely destroy you in a series, then I can't really take you seriously when you don't change anything out of your even your best eight players. That Utah still hasn't changed anything with that, because eventually they're just gonna, the thing how to figure out Gobert is you just don't go inside anymore. Shooting is just such a premium now that a lot of these teams have it, and It could even be down to a player that you don't know or making a name for himself, like a guy like a Terrence Mann did. So it's hard for me to take Utah as like the most complete team in the league. You know, Michael Wilbon goes with the Bucks, which, if healthy, I can understand that. I think they have a pretty good team as well, and they're pretty deep. Brook Lopez hasn't played since after opening night. I think that's something to be pretty concerned about if I were a Bucks fan, that Brook Lopez has not played a game since opening night. Also, Drew Holiday has got off to a sluggish start as well, too, after coming back from injury his first week. Richard Jefferson goes with the Heat, which, by the way, the Heat are really good. Really, really good. They play amazing defense. Tyler Hero is putting on a show off the bench for the Heat. They've still got Duncan Robinson, who's an elite shooter, but, you know, he doesn't really do a whole lot else. Adebayo has still played really well. He's not getting as many assists, or he's not in a passing situation as much. But Butler has played, at a top five level so far this season. You know, Stephen A. goes off about the Warriors. It's funny because he was trying to demean Richard Jefferson, saying that outside of Kyle Lowry, Butler, and Adebayo, they have a lot of unproven players. And then after he named Steph, Clay, and Draymond, he started with James Wiseman. I was laughing, because I think James Wiseman potentially, now, I think the jury is out in Sacramento, where Marvin Bagley has to get an opportunity on a different team. If Marvin Bagley can prove that he can play really well in a different situation, then I don't think you can say that Marvin Bagley is a bust. I think the jury's out still, even though it's been 3+ seasons for him. Now, James Wiseman, I don't think he had a good rookie season last year, and he hasn't played a minute yet. So sometimes it's really hard to take Stephen A. obviously seriously, but I thought that point was really funny that he just started off naming some Warriors players, and the first thing he said was James Wiseman. I just couldn't believe it.
Yeah, and I just kind of got into that conversation before you came on, just talking about, you know, some of the teams around the league that's, you know, got out to a hot start. And, some of the teams that people might have expected to be better, that's kind of struggling right now. But one of the teams that I'm not surprised about, obviously, you know, the Heat has been, you know, really good for quite a, you know, couple years now. So it's not a surprise to see them at the top of the Eastern Conference. It is early in the season. We all know it. But they're playing some really good basketball right now. And the addition of Kyle Lowry seems to be the difference maker in what's making that whole engine, you know, run like a well-oiled engine over there. Wizards, we'll see. I'm not going to say much about the Wizards. I think, you know, it's good to see them playing, you know, good basketball, but that is a team that we consider as, you know, building. And we'll see if they can maintain one of them spots to get into the playoffs. Brooklyn Nets,
well,
probably the best team in the East outside of the Heat and the Bulls. But the East is right now, early in the season, I say the East is pretty contested. I mean, there's some good teams that's getting off to some good starts. Even the 76ers without Ben Simmons, who I don't think he's going to return, you know, to Philadelphia, but we'll see.
Yeah, I've said it for a while that I just don't see Ben Simmons playing for the Sixers anymore. I don't see it. He's obviously playing a game about, you know, the Sixers medical staff and seeing Sixers team doctors compared to his doctors. It's a really messy situation that, you know, Daryl Morey is going to come out and say that we'll deal with it for the length of his contract if it has to do that. Obviously, that's not going to happen. Eventually, a trade will happen. You know, it's bound to go on. But I just feel like the top of the East is essentially going to be cannibalizing each other on record. And you just have to win a couple of games here and there more than the top teams. You should be able to get through. Right now, as we stand, yeah, the Heat might have the best record, but I'm going to say it as I think the Heat, as in the regular season, not overall in the Eastern Conference, but I think the Heat might have the best regular season team out there, where I think Brooklyn has depth issues. They have age issues, obviously. Boston just can't shoot the ball at all. Then you got Toronto, who I think is going to be rebuilding. I don't think they're really going to be much. Charlotte is improving. They're playing pretty good basketball. I really like Charlotte. The Hawks are it's not going well. Clint Capella is not himself right now, and that's a big problem for the Hawks. John Collins is not taking that dominant role with Trae Young. He's still a really good player, but he's not taking control of the situation, where I think if he did that with Trae Young, I think the Hawks can right the ship here. But right now, Clint Capella, with him not looking like himself, is affecting things, I think, quite a bit for Atlanta. You got Milwaukee, who has to rely a lot on their depth right now in order to get through games. You know, eventually they'll turn it up. Middleton's been out with COVID, so pretty soon he's supposed to be back. The Knicks and the Knicks, like, they're going to be fine. They got to get RJ Barrett and Evan Fournier definitely more consistent in order to maybe beat the team they should be beating more often. And then they lost to the Raptors last Monday when the Raptors just couldn't miss. Just things like that. I feel like the Knicks need to get that worked out. Derrick Rose has struggled here and there. I think he's doing okay tonight, but he has struggled the last couple games himself too. But this East is really good. You know, I think that to get through the regular season, the Heat probably have the best roster to do it, where the Nets probably have the most talent. The Bucks maybe have the best team, like, to win a championship. I mean, if any of that makes sense, I think there's just three different categories. You know, some teams can just get through the regular season and just have a lot of wins. Some teams just might have the best talent and they can't get it all together. And then you got the best like team basketball, and I think the best team basketball in the East is probably Milwaukee.
Yeah, and you know Milwaukee's out to a slow start, but you know they're gonna rebound. I mean they did win the NBA championship last season, and they pretty much returned that whole team. So you know what they're just in a little funk right now. So they're always gonna be there, at the top of the Eastern Conference. But your opinion. I want your opinion on this, because I got a buddy of mine, and he's a basketball nerd when it comes to just knowledge. And me and him been talking, and he doesn't like the Boston Celtics the way they constructed. I've been watching them, and I don't like what I see from their offense. And it looks like to me that Tatum and Brown, between the two of them, they're taking about 50 shots a night. And the rest of the team is pretty much standing around watching them play one-on-one. And Marcus Smart came out. And I like when Smart come out because, you know, when he starts talking, he's going to give it to you 100% raw. And everything he's saying is going to be the truth. So I like when he speaks, because there's nobody in that locker room that is going to push up on him for speaking the truth. He's probably the heart and soul of that team, and one of the guys that I forget his name now, the head coach that went to the GM.
Brad Stevens,
you know, that's probably one of his favorite guys. So he's going to back Smart all the way. What do you think about Boston, and are they going to be a good team? Will they make the playoffs? And under this current system, I think this head coach is already on thin ice, but it is early in the season. But I don't like his system. And Tatum, you're not that great of a shooter. You're not Kobe. And
for a ball-dominant player, he is definitely struggling so far.
Yeah, he is. He is, and it doesn't look good. And they don't have the depth that they used to have. I just don't think they're going to be that good, and I can see them sitting in that bottom half of the Eastern Conference. I don't even know if they're, the top 10 team in the East right now.
Right now, they're not. They're not playing that way. Obviously, as any of us would know on the show, Derek, yeah, I know you're not a fan of like excessive three-point shooting, but at the same time, you've got to be a fan of moving the ball. So in today's day and age in the NBA, when you're playing isolation and only a couple of guys are only shooting it, go figure, it doesn't work. So I would say Marcus Smart, kind of, if the Celtics can right the ship, then he saved their season by telling them, guys, there's other people on the team. Pass us the ball too. And Marcus Smart is a very important piece, not just for his defense, but the dude is a good passer. He tries hard. He can get to the lane still. Maybe he's not a dribble penetration guy, but the guy can get his own shot if he really needs to. I think he's an immensely talented player. Isolation ball doesn't work, especially with a new coach. Especially with young shooters that are just volume guys, they would rather shoot 7 of 27 than shoot 7 of 14. It's pretty disgusting basketball, to be honest with you. And at this moment, yeah, the Celtics might not be a top ten team in the East. Now Jaylen Brown is hurt at the moment, so Dennis Schroeder is going to get a bigger opportunity with Jaylen Brown having hamstring tightness. But for now, yeah, Emi Udoka definitely has his hand cut out for him, and he needs to get this together. Otherwise, they're going to lose their season. And, yeah, the rumors are swirling around that, yeah, Ben Simmons wants to come to Boston because they need his ball distribution. That's why. They yeah. need his passing ability. They need a guy on the perimeter that can play with Marcus Smart and not have to sit, you know, not have to put one on the bench and one out there, where Ben Simmons can do that. You know, you can trade a Jaylen Brown to the Sixers and, you know, put a deal package around there. But at the end of the day, I think the Celtics, yes, they will make the playoffs. Their talent is there. But, man, it's a bad start. And, you know, Tatum and Brown, and I think Udoka does have a lot of blame to kind of pass around to each other, where, you know, the coach should have some blame because he's letting it happen.
Well, I agree. I kind of agree. I know they got talent, but I'm just basing this off of obviously last season how they played, under Brad Stevens, and then this season based on some of the other moves that was made, and with other organizations like the Bulls, and even Charlotte's a young team that is getting better. But Milwaukee is going to definitely climb up the ranks of the East once they get things together. Other teams are going to fall back. But they're not better than the Heat. They're not better than the Bulls. I might give them the Wizards. But you know they're not better than the Nets. They're not better than the Sixers. I'll maybe even give them the Cavaliers. I mean, there is 10 spots. I forget about that. There is 10 spots now because they expanded the playoffs. That's the only thing that's saving Boston. But I can give you 8 teams that's better than Boston Celtics right now.
And I would agree with you that the Hornets are better than the Celtics. And I'm going to go on my kind of tangent about how good LaMelo Ball is as a basketball player. Miles Bridges the last couple of years has been kind of a bench guy.
Yeah.
Has never been able to get it together. And now all of a sudden he could be an all-star in the East. How good he is and how good he has been playing. Because when your best player and his best attribute is passing and getting others involved, because LaMelo's not a dominant scorer. Yeah, he's had good games where he scored over 20 points, and he's had a triple-double, I believe, earlier this week or last weekend. But when your best attribute as a player is vision and your passing ability, then somebody else is eventually going to break out and have a great season. Like, you know, Steve Nash had Amari Stoudemire about how Amari Stoudemire became this fantastic basketball player for a long time in Phoenix. And now you get some similarities. Yeah, LaMelo is a lot taller than Steve Nash, of course, but Miles Bridges can kind of have some similarity where obviously Bridges can hit threes, but I think there could be some stuff happening here. And you get a good third player in Gordon Hayward. You have a good outside shooter in Terry Rozier, who I will admit, a couple years ago when they swapped Rozier for Kemba Walker, I blasted the Hornets for giving Rozier that money. And now all of a sudden, hey, Rozier's a really good knockdown shooter, and he should get a lot of shot attempts. But when you eventually eventually, of course, draft a guy like LaMelo, you're going to put guys like a Terry Rozier in better shooting positions so he can be this knockdown shooter that he eventually has become instead of a ball hog black hole type of player like he was in Boston coming off the bench. So it's just infectious where in the Boston situation, it is a black hole type thing where these two guys are taking all of the offense. So that's why, honestly, right now, I would say the Hornets are better than the Celtics. I mean, it's kind of weird to say, but I would agree that they are.
Yeah, and I don't know what, you know, I don't know what the Raptors are going to do, but, you know, the Knicks, hey, I know how you feel about Tibbs, but, you know, the Knicks are a good team, and I just don't think the Celtics are deep enough anymore. They were at one point, but they're not now. And like you said, unless they correct, you know, a lot of those mistakes they've been making, the smart speaking out could be the thing that save their season if they, you know, get things together. But we'll see. I'm not confident in Boston. And I did like, you know how I felt about Tatum, you know, coming out of the draft. And his first couple of years, he was playing some great basketball, and he was doing some really good things. And I think they handed him the keys to the house a little bit too soon. I don't know if he was ready for that.
To be honest, where Tatum was successful in his first couple of seasons, you know, he was getting more mid-range shots. He was taking more in rhythm. You know, shots in the offense, like it looked like pretty fluid and effortless.
Yeah.
Where he is taking a lot of shots where it's contested. It's early in the shot clock. There's way more threes. There's deeper threes. I think there's just issues with that. And the guy's a pretty good free throw shooter. So why don't you use that to your advantage and get to the line a little bit more? Maybe hit, go back to your mid range game and hit it more. That is obviously a lost art in the NBA. Got a couple guys like DeRozan and Booker obviously haven't lost that, but I would say that's part of what he needs to do to become a little bit more efficient and stop going 4 of 18 from the field, 5 of 21 from the field.
Yeah.
Like just he needs to stop doing that. Otherwise, you're gonna shoot your team out of games when you do that.
Well, he's already done that. Quite a bit, you know, on the season, in 10 games, he's 39% field goal percentage, 39% field goal percentage, 32% from the three. So think about that. He's 39% overall field goal percentage and 32% from the three. That tells you everything you need to know about his shooting, because your field goal percentage should never be close to, you know, what you're shooting from three, unless you like Steph Curry or somebody where you're shooting 45% from, you know, from the 3-point line and 45+% from the field. But you're shooting 39% from inside the arc. And then you're shooting 32 from outside the arc. And
I say it all the time. That's a problem, Derek. That's a problem.
Yeah. And you know me. You know me, how I feel about the 3-point shot. I think it's absolutely ruined basketball. Steph Curry, Damian Lillard, you know, some of those guys that could just flat out light it up. Hey, great. Great for them. Awesome. They're professionals. They can do that. Everybody else can't. And, you know, the NBA is playing analytics now, you know, with the shots. So they feel like if we take 50 threes and we can make 35% of those 50 threes, we got a better chance of winning, because those threes, for every three, that's 3 points. And then we can outdo our 2 points. You know, basically trading threes. Well, trading twos for threes. So
for me, It's a regular season formula that can work. Obviously, the Rockets have proved that when they had Harden. But it's, you know, but time and time and time again, it has proven that you can't make it work in the playoffs.
Mm-mm. You got to be able in the playoffs. You got to go back to playing basketball because everybody is good, and in the playoffs, the good teams are going to figure out a way to shut you down from outside the arc, and they're going to force you to change your game up. And if you can't change your game up and do something different, then you're going home. And that's just, you know, that's just it. You know, Golden State was great. Him, you know, Clay, Steph, Kevin Durant. But when the 3-1 falling, they can go and get buckets from the mid range. They could get to the basket. They could score from everywhere.
All three can obviously create their own shot off the dribble, and that's a special thing. Where a lot of these other teams, they got one guy that can do it, maybe two, but not as consistent, and that's the problem when you have to rely on that type of offense in the playoffs. That's why it doesn't work over a 7-game series where, you know, refs might have tighter whistles, the game slows down a little bit more, it's more half court, so it's kind of harder to get open. I agree. The three-point shot and how it works, all the analytics stuff and how these players become much better because they're better shooters, I mean, like they're more valuable contract-wise, I think that all works for the regular season pretty well. But in the playoffs, it just becomes tough unless you're the Clippers who shoot, you know, who hit over 23s in Game 6 versus Utah and took them out of the series. So, I mean, you're going to have some onslaughts in some games. You're going to struggle in some games. And for teams like Portland that live and die by the three, which they do, I do think that they do more often than not. The games that they win, it's great. And the games they lose, they look terrible. So, you know, it is what it is. To watch this Houston and Detroit game, I watched about three quarters of it before I called in. I want to ask you, Derek, both are in rebuild situations. Both have, you know, some talent. The Rockets just have one bloated contract in John Wall that I don't know if he's going to play this season. I've seen some videos of him shooting shots in the gym and he's not even on the court. So who do you think has a better path to get out of the rebuild with out of the 1 and 2 draft picks, obviously, is Cade Cunningham and Jalen Green? Because keep in mind, and I've said this multiple times on the show, this 2022 draft class, I think, is completely overrated. There might be a couple guys that will be good, but, you know, the number one prospect is Chet Holmgren, and I just don't believe in that guy as a really good NBA player. Of course, I am looking at the 2023 draft class. So I think there's a gap between, you know, Jalen Green and Cade Cunningham in this 2021 draft class compared to when we get to 2023. So who do you think has the better chance to get out of the bottom, the Rockets or the Pistons?
Well, looking at things, I think that's tough, man. I'm gonna say they both terrible.
I kind of stumped you here, man.
Because they both terrible. Like, we watched the Rockets.
Yeah, they both have identical records. They both have one win. Their offense is usually at the bottom of the league. You know, Detroit can't shoot. They're a bunch of bricklayers. I understand all
they
that.
They both play teams. Terrible defense. I mean,
They don't have, you know, Christian Wood is pretty good, but, you know, by the time that they're good, he's going to be out of the league or going to be like a bench veteran, one of the two. So, where Isaiah Stewart, yeah, he had a good rookie year, but he's kind of terrible this year right now for Detroit.
Well, yeah.
So, and Olenek eventually will move on, go somewhere else. He won't be with Detroit at some point. So, kind of a tough question. But to me, I think it's easy. And I'll explain that. And I'll explain why. Cade Cunningham is a much better prospect than Jalen Green. Jalen Green, the only two things that he's really good at is he's an explosive athlete, just an amazing off-the-charts athlete. The guy can, if you watch his jumpers, first of all, he throws these crazy rainbow threes, and obviously they do go in, but the shooting percentage is terrible because he's a rookie. But he gets massive height on his jump shots for how tall he is. That's really impressive. And he's a scorer. That's what he is. He is a Bradley Beal type of scorer. He's a volume dude. But he's not the defender. He doesn't have great size at his position. He doesn't have a lot. His length is not as great as a Cunningham's length is. Where, you know, Richard Jefferson called Cade Cunningham before the game, you know, he reminds me of Brandon Roy. Really? No. Not at all.
No, Brandon Roy.
So. He reminds me of Luka Doncic, in my opinion. He's exactly the type of player Doncic is. Now, Doncic might be more explosive off the dribble, getting to the hole, because, yeah, he looks slow, but all of a sudden I think Doncic gets that step in his length. He gets to that rim, and I think it's fantastic of how Doncic does that. But I think Cade has a lot of those attributes. Coming into the league, Doncic wasn't a good volume 3-point shooter, but he wasn't this great, you know, as advertised 3-point shooter. It's taken him a little bit of time to have a better shooting percentage from the three. Where Cade, yeah, right now he's bricklaying like nobody's business. But part of his game that's really good is a 3-point shot. But the difference between Cade and Jalen, Cade has a much better size in his position. Has a lot of length, so he can get in passing lanes, he can get steals, he can get his passes through, he can see the offense, obviously, because he's taller. And I think Cade is a leader. Cade is a leader that can lead your franchise, where Jalen Green can get you 25 points a night and get you some nice highlights. So, to be honest with you, I think it's a no-brainer that I think it's Detroit.
Yeah, I was leaning more towards Houston. I just think what we saw from the Rockets last season, after, you know, them just pretty much giving away James Harden.
They totally gave away James Harden.
I mean, I can, you know, they that was a giveaway. We seen David Stern step in when the Lakers tried to trade for Chris Paul, and David Stern was like, "That's not even nothing close to the, you know, what the Hornets was getting back." He felt like was robbery, and he nixed that trade. The commissioner of the NBA should have stepped in and nixed the freaking trade for James Harden to the Nets, because
what's strange about that trade is, like, you know, the Nets traded out Jared Allen and Caris LeVert, but the Rockets didn't get either of them. They got Victor Oladipo in return. Like, what?
Yeah, but you really? Know, while Victor Oladipo is a decent basketball player, comparing the two ain't no. I mean, I like Oladipo coming out of Indiana, and I thought he did some good stuff, you know, for the Magic. And then when he went to Indiana, was traded from the Magic to Indiana, I thought he was on his way. And then he had the injury to his quadricep or his patella, I think it was, he tore, and we have been, you know, we haven't seen that Victor Oladipo that was, you know, coming out before that injury. But
The point I was trying to make was Jared Allen and Caris LeVert are good, talented players. I think they are good players.
Yeah.
But for the Rockets to not even get LeVert to on there, and they rented Oladipo for the season because obviously he's in Miami and he is still hurt. He's supposed to be back around Christmas time. For anybody who is listening to the Rat Pack who wants to know when they should pick up Victor Oladipo if they're playing in their fantasy league, it's right before Christmas. He should be back. So, but when it comes to the talent you get back, they got the picks and they got the swaps. Of course they got that. But they just, I don't think they got enough. They didn't even get close to enough. And the only reason why, Derek, I think that you would say, to answer that my question where you said the Rockets, is because they got Kevin Porter Jr. That guy's only 21 years old. He is pretty talented offensively, bit of a black hole, not a good passer, a volume shooter that kind of is pretty inefficient right now. But he's only 21. He has good length, and I think he can. I think he's not a bad passer. He just needs to kind of think more pass first and then get his shot, which he can. He's extremely athletic. So, where Detroit, their second best player is probably Sadiq Bey, and I don't think he's really there yet to be even close to a running man with Cade. So you have to have either Jalen Green become this dominant scorer, but you got to have Kevin Porter Jr. maybe be the point guard distributor, where I think that's a long ways away for Houston to see that. So if that can happen, then Houston wins this discussion. But I think between Cade and Jalen Green, Cade is definitely a better player long term.
Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying, man. I hear what you're saying. I mean, it could be a toss up either way. It can, but I just feel like the fall from competing, you know, fell so fast and so hard with the Rockets. And with Detroit, you know, they've been competing. They just not been in the conversation or anything like that. And they're a little bit further ahead in the building curve and, you know, in the building process than the Rockets. So I understand Detroit being a little bit further along, but
Detroit has kind of maximized some draft picks. Yeah, that I think they got.
They've done a little bit better.
At least to start.
Yeah.
Compared to Houston, who still has Eric Gordon on their roster. So shout out to the Anthony Bennett All-Stars. Eric Gordon's one of them. So, shout out to Eric Gordon. So that's where I'm kind of at with it. Derek, we had a moment in a game on Monday that would make you, if you were in the arena in Denver, you would have just stood up and freaking cheered for Jokic the entire time when, you know, let's call a spade for a spade. Markieff Morris took a cheap shot into Jokic's ribs. Jokic did his best impression of 1993 Bulls versus Knicks kind of fighting. So I appreciate what Jokic did. He got a game suspension. Fine. The NBA were correct to give him a one game suspension. If they would have given him, you know, three or four games, it would have been obviously very excessive and they shouldn't have done that. To give him one game, I think is passable, but the message to say, Hey, you can't push me around. I'm not a guy that you want to mess with, as Jokic is proving. I think it's a great message to send around the league. You know, I might be, big, not like this brick muscular guy, but you can't just push me around. I'm going to throw you to the ground pretty much.
Okay. Well, okay. Well, I mean, you always, you know, got a way of explaining things to get me to, you know, kind of come back on the other side of the bridge. you know, a little bit more, but it's an interesting conversation and question to ask. We will see. Let's go 2 years from this point, from today. Who's exactly has taken that better route if, in the building, you know, rebuilding phase. So I do have a few more questions.
It's fine. I was going to say, I mean, my boys in OKC are going to be watching that 2023 draft, you know, exceptionally hard because I think their franchise will depend on it, of how that goes for them. The Magic, I mean, those are the four rebuilding teams in the league. They're like actually rebuilding.
Yeah.
They're like on purposely kind of losing here. So I think the Thunder have the most at stake. Detroit already got one guy. They got their guy, and now they got to figure out how to build around him. Houston probably has their guy. I think he's more of a Jaylen Brown and not a Tatum. That's where I kind of put a Jalen Green there. But the Thunder, they got Shea. Shea is going to be still young enough to where when they draft like a Victor Wembanyama or an Amani Bates in that 2023 draft, they can still coexist together. You know, if you want to watch great basketball for college, watch Memphis, Amani Bates. He's going to be the first or second pick in the draft in 2023. So I think he'll be the one that you would want to watch in college basketball. He's the guy. But it's just obviously it's a wait and see. 2022, I think you just kind of bag it. Don't think about it. In 2023, that's the draft that you're going to want to care about losing before to get the guy that in that draft.
Yes. And we had a conversation earlier before the season, and we had a few since the season has started. Now, I made a prediction. I didn't know it was going to be this quick, but I made a prediction that Golden State Warriors is the best team in the Western Conference when they get healthy. That was my words, when they got healthy. They're not healthy yet. And what they're doing right now, and they still got to get Klay back, and I don't know how good Wiseman is going to be for them, but we'll see. He's another body. And a big, you know, somebody that in a position that they need more than the others. What you think about Golden State?
This is a phrase that I'm going to say that Derek would appreciate. It's probably in his age group, but maybe the younger kids might not understand about, you know, a metaphor, maybe saying that someone's dominant. The Warriors are running train all over the league right now. They are just running train all over the place. They have terrific shooting. They have good bench play. They got Steph Curry, and they got you know, one of the best leaders on the floor in Draymond Green. I think Steve Kerr is an above average coach. He's not reinventing the wheel. I think he's good. He's not like the best thing ever, but I think he is a way, way competent head coach that is good enough to take you, obviously, to a championship. Even with a decent roster, I think he can still get you there. But, man, Jordan Poole, breakout player of the year, I said it a couple times ago, I was on the cast. He's probably going to be the breakout player of the NBA. He is just shooting the lights out. Three out of his last five games, he's had six triples or more. it is giving the Warriors that element of somebody else other than Steph can dominate at times in a game. And that's important because you can't have Steph do it every night because he's human. He's going to have a bad shooting night here and there. But to have a guy like Jordan Poole, who's obviously developed from a guy who barely played a couple of years ago to now, the Warriors really depend on him, and he's actually a really big deal in their offense. And, man, he is lighting it up, and he is going to keep doing it because when you have a lot of the defense focusing on Steph Curry, rightfully so, someone's got to be open. And right now that's Jordan Poole, and he is knocking those shots down. That's the difference maker. That's one of the biggest difference makers I think the Warriors have. You know, guys like Jonathan Kuminga, Moses Moody, who they drafted in this one, and of course Wiseman, like you said, we don't know what we're getting out of Wiseman at the moment. So you know what you're getting out of Otto Porter on a minimum contract, by the way, for anybody who's keeping track of the Anthony Bennett All-Star page. But I would say Jordan Poole is your guy. He's the reason why the Warriors he's a big reason why the Warriors have the record they do.
Yeah, and there we go again. Hold on. Silly behind microphone, man. I think I need a new cord. Sometimes it just cut out. The sound just cut out. And oh, boy. Well, yeah, and I think Golden State will stay where they at. I'm not saying they're going to be the number one team all, you know, season, but I think they'll be in that top three conversation. I just, you know, with the way Steph Curry playing, he dropped 50 points last night, and he did it only taking, I think, 23 shots or something like that. And he was ridiculous from the three-point stripe. So, I think that's I'm going to stick with my statement. When they get healthy, I think that's the best team in the West. So far, so good right now. And
well, the thing about Steph's game against the Hawks on Monday, having 9 triples, 50 points, but he also went like 13 of 13 from the free throw line. He had 2 steals, he had a block, he had 9 assists.
Dang.
It's just an absolutely full line as best as you could probably get it in. And you know, it's got crazy, what, 6'2", 6'3", maybe? Like, he's not exceptionally tall for a point guard. Obviously, that's why he wasn't drafted in the top 5 in his year he came out.
Yeah.
But to have that full of a line this late in your career and you don't have any signs of slowing down, it's scary how good he is. It's scary how good he can still be. And as we have seen over the years, he's really improved his passing ability, Steph Curry has. He is finding guys more often. Yeah, he obviously shoots a lot. Yes, he takes his shots because he is the guy that runs the entire offense. He should. But he's also out there finding guys. He's also out there finding the open man. And I think that's important for Steph's game, too. Over the years, he has gotten much better at his passing ability. And I think a guy like a Jordan Poole, who's going to benefit so much out of that. It's going to be a great thing for him. Now, I do agree with your statement. Maybe the Warriors might not be the best team in the West throughout the season. Eventually the Lakers have their chemistry issues and LeBron will come back. I think the Lakers are still good enough to maybe they'll be the best team in the West, them or Utah, in that range. But what's going on in Phoenix with Robert Sarver's situation? That's a cancerous disaster of a situation for a season. It's there is reports out there. It's a reason why DeAndre Ayton is not rushing to get back on the court, because the owner has, you know, it's not official, but he might have said something of a racial slur, not to his face, but about him. And he found that out, and he's like, I don't want to play then. I'm not going to play until I'm ready to play. That situation is get that guy out of there. Get Robert Sarver, sell it to someone else, get him out of that organization. Chris Paul already dealt with it with the Clippers situation, obviously a few years back, and now he has to deal with it again in Phoenix. Yeah. Honestly, that Sun situation is going to torpedo their season. I feel like it will. Yeah, the Suns will make the playoffs, but they're not going to get to the finals. They're not going to go on the run they did last year. This Sarver situation is a cancer, and they need to deal with it as fast as they can. And the Neil O'Shea situation in Portland, same thing. You got to get this cancerous guy out of your organization. You just got to do it. He is, it's not racial. It's more of like, he's just an a-hole. I'll put it out there like that. He yells and screams, berates guys, cuts people out, does it anywhere from the staff to players to people who were assistant coaches. Wanted him to still be an assistant coach. You know, he runs him out of town. These reports that eventually are going to keep coming in against Neil O'Shea, it's a surprise to me he hasn't resigned yet. They need to get him out of town as fast as possible, too. Especially with, you know, if you watched a little bit in the fourth quarter last night with the Clippers and the Blazers game, Lillard made a layup and he extended out. And he has an abdominal strain issue that he has never gotten surgery for. That it got worse during the Olympics. And if the Blazers keep kind of floundering around, they might just shut him down. Eventually, later on in the season, they might do that. And to have a brand new coach, to have a bad GM situation of what the toxic work environment he is presenting. Portland really needs to get their act together and get this guy out of town. Get Neil O'Shea out of there.
Yeah, just a matter of what, you know, if they want to do it. I mean, he's been there long enough and hadn't done nothing. So, if it was me, he's out of there.
If you want Lillard to be happy, if you want to give Chauncey Billups an opportunity to coach, to flourish, you've got to have happy players in the organization. If they have their boss, he's an a-hole, that's not going to have motivation for guys to want to give it their all or try as hard as they can. When that's who they're working for. So I don't know. I think get Sarver, get a new owner in Phoenix, get him out of there, get Neil O'Shea out of there. It's been long overdue. Just do it. Just get it over there.
Yep. And I don't disagree with you. Feel the same exact way. But, with that being said, is there anything else you want to get into, Nicholas, before we head out?
No, I think we did okay. I think we covered as much as we could. I tried to go as rapid fire as I could on there, and I think we covered quite a bit.
All right, man. Well, with that being said, as always, I want to just thank you for coming on. As I said before, brother, I know your schedule busy. So whenever you got time, just come on in, man. You know, the door is always open. You don't even have to knock. Just walk in and be like, all right, guys, I got this. But
I appreciate it. I love coming on. I'm very happy to come on, and thank you for that, Derek.
Yep. All right, brother. If you can, give the listeners your social media information. If they want to reach out to you and ask you anything there is on the NBA.
My Twitter handle is NLaneHoldemAA. Social media for Facebook, Nicholas Lane. I'm in a Buccaneers uniform, but I would answer any questions on Twitter that you may have, or you can message me on Messenger or DM me on Twitter as well too. I'll be happy to answer anything that you might have.
All right, brother. With that being said, we're gonna get on up out of here. We will catch you next time, brother.
You got it. Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Rat Pack Sports Show NBA Insider. Mr. Nicholas Lane, and still having this freaking... I need to get a new cord for this. Whatchamacallit, because... Bruh, I can't, it keep cutting in and out. I'm not sure if anybody can hear me on the other end, but we'll get it fixed.